On ABC Local Radio, you are with Rod Quinn. It is time to talk health and fitness. Gordon Lynch is the Professor of Physiology at the University of Melbourne. That is a very prestigious position. We are honoured to have him on the program every week. Gordon, good morning.
Good morning, Rod.
And I mean that most sincerely. You can tweet at Gordon S. Lynch. He's ready right now, well, in the next 10 minutes or so, to take your tweets. I've got a question for you, Gordon.
Okay, please.
Serious. Are you sitting down?
I am, and I should be perhaps standing up, Rod.
Yeah, why? I know we've been through a little bit of this before with the standing desks and then the desks that had running machines or walking machines, treadmills on them. But really,
you love those, don't you?
Brilliant idea. But, you know, there's some discussion, it's been going on for a few years, that sitting is the new smoking. Now, that's a huge concern because, well, there are sometimes we just can't not sit, you know, whereas you can, yeah, of course, choose not to smoke, and hopefully people will. But it's a bit more difficult when it comes to sitting, isn't it?
It is, and there's a big, big push now to try and reduce the time that we're spending sitting down, because this sort of approach of not just people like me saying, oh, we should be doing structured exercise and so on. It's more about the incidental exercises and time, you know, reducing that time, any time that we can reduce the time sitting down, because sedentary behaviours, you know, this idea of too much sitting down is actually distinct from too little exercise. And most disappointing to me, Rod, is that it doesn't, you know, just because you may be doing structured exercise certain times of the day or week and so on, it may not necessarily cancel out completely the time that you've spent sitting. And I think that's a major message that we need to hammer home and then get a better appreciation of what it's doing to our health and what we're talking about this morning, what it could be doing to our hearts.
Okay. So with, say, food that we eat, we can't really ever know 100% how many calories we're taking in or all the carbohydrates and things like that. But you can do your best to try and work that off by doing a certain amount of exercise. You're saying we can't necessarily negate the negative effects of sitting by exercising a lot more?
Well, I think we just need to think about how much time we were spending. If many people are desk-bound, they're in their offices, they're sitting behind a computer and doing whatnot, sitting down. They could be driving, so they're driving long distances, sitting down. They're at home watching television, sitting down. And so if we calculate how much time we're actually spending in seated position with this sluggish blood flow and all these things that have been suggested to contribute to health issues, then it's a huge part of our lives spent in this sort of seated position. So the idea would be, can we reduce it? Let's be sensible about thinking about ways we can reduce the time we're sitting down. And it could be reducing it by half an hour each day, reducing it by an hour, maybe more. And each time we're doing that, I think we're trying to address that problem, because it's not just about the structured exercise or doing too little exercise. It's about how we can get that sedentary behaviour down.
Okay. Now, many people listening to us who might be driving a truck at the moment or driving as part of their work might think, well, how am I supposed to do that? This, sadly, will not necessarily apply to everybody, but you've got to take into account that many people simply cannot, in the course of their job, spend, you know, an hour or half an hour standing up a day because they've got to be sitting down.
I understand that, and there are certainly going to be situations where it may not apply completely. But in terms of some ways that we can do it, I think we can all think about it, about different ways in which we could improve our or increase our level of incidental activities. And I think some of these things we can do is what we're doing sitting down could be done standing up. And it's not to get crazy about it. It's just about thinking sensibly about, well, during the course of the day, I'm going to be sitting down, but I'm also going to be trying to consciously stand more to try to counteract the damage I might be doing by sitting down for long periods of time.
Okay. Now, specifically, we're talking this morning about a report from Dallas in Texas and what cardiologists have found there, and they are linking being sedentary, lying down, sitting down, with increased calcium deposits in the heart arteries. That is very bad news.
Yeah, this was research that was presented at the American College of Cardiology's annual conference. It was held last month. And these researchers from UT Southwestern in Dallas, they showed that being sedentary, the more sedentary you were, you had an increased amount of calcium deposits in the heart arteries. And that in turn is associated with a higher risk of heart attack. Now, this is all associated with this idea of atherosclerosis, or this idea of hardening of the arteries, because in some people the cholesterol can build up on the walls, the inside of the walls of the arteries that supply the blood to the heart, and it builds up in plaques, these cholesterol rich plaques, a waxy sort of substance, and over time calcium can accumulate within these plaques. And people can, you know, these cardiologists can do CT scans, and they can detect these calcium deposits within the heart arteries. So we know, if we think about it as sort of the plumbing of the body, if we've got a drain pipe under your kitchen sink, water can flow very quickly and easily through the drain when it's new and it's clean. But over time, you've got grease and gunk that builds up on the inside of the pipe, and the drain will drain more slowly. It's the same sort of concept. And we've got, you know, if we've got a complete blockage or a partial blockage of those pipes, then the drainage is going to be affected. It's the same thing that's happening in our arteries. And as it can happen as we get older, that's naturally that we're going to get this build-up of over time. But there are other things as well. If we have high cholesterol levels in our blood, particularly that LDL, that bad cholesterol, the low-density lipoprotein, if we're smoking, if we have diabetes, if we're eating too much saturated fats in the diet, if we have high blood pressure, so there's extra pressure going through the plumbing system of our bodies, if we're very heavy, overweight, and if we have a personal history of heart disease, all these factors are going to be increasing our chances of having atherosclerosis. And in particular, what we're focusing on today is how our behaviours, particularly our sitting behaviours, may affect the calcium deposits within those plaques, which contribute to this atherosclerosis.
Which means what, your blood is just not flowing the way it ought to, therefore there's problems with blood pressure. If there's this build-up, then the blood's just not moving at the right pace.
Yeah, and so, you know, we can think the heart can function perhaps normally with a narrower set of pipes, if the arteries are narrow, but not if it's working, if the heart's asked to work harder and you need to pump more blood flow and you've got restrictions on the flow, that's going to be an issue. So when, you know, the heart's, the demand increases for that oxygen-rich blood that you need to have, if you're exercising, if you feel stressed and you feel your heart pumping more, more blood needs to flow where it needs to go. But if we've got some sort of blockade, then that oxygen-rich blood is going to be impeded in some way, and that's when we can get shortness of breath. Oh, it can lead to angina, heart attack, and so on. So this concept of the plaques lining the arteries, that, you know, sometimes it can come off and cause a blockage somewhere. It could relate to stroke. It could relate to heart attack. All these sorts of things in terms of reducing clot formation, reducing the build-up of plaque in our arteries is an important thing. And what we're talking about this morning is that these calcium deposits, what's been shown by these researchers from Dallas, is that increasing the amount of time that you're spending sitting down is actually increasing the level of these calcium deposits in the arteries. And that could lead to a higher risk of heart attack.
Okay, that is very bad news. But, of course, as with all of these problems, you can do something about it. You might be able to delay the onset. You might be able to reverse the situation, depending on your age or how active you are. So what would you advise people to do with this situation?
Yeah, I think lifestyle is going to be a big factor, a big contributing factor to the prevention of the build-up of these things. Now, in this particular study, they had 2,000 people which they tracked, you know, wearing a pedometer and other things that could track the amount of activity they were doing, how much time they were sitting down. These people were spending an average of around about 5 hours sitting down and about less than 30 minutes in moderate activity. So that's sort of what it would be a common scenario, I think, for many of our listeners, that they might be sitting down for that or for longer and doing, you know, some level of activity. And I'm talking about structured activity, but not necessarily thinking about other ways that we can go about tackling that two-pronged problem. So I think if there's a strong association between the amount of sedentary time and this coronary artery calcium, which is going to be linked to an increased risk of heart disease and so on, we can do certain things. And you're asking me, what can we do? And I'm trying to think of some simple ways, and some of them may be replicable to some people and others completely not. So please bear with me as we think about these different situations. If you're travelling by public transport, one issue may be you can have a stop, one stop before you're supposed to, and walk the remaining distance. And it may be 500 metres, or it may be something along those lines, something sensible, but it's something that you're introducing as an extra level of activity to try and counteract the time that you might have been sitting down on that train or bus or whatever. Taking a phone call, or perhaps interviews on ABC Radio, could be done standing up.
I'm standing up right now, Gordon.
And so it's very convenient that we sit down and we think that's really great. And most of the time it's comfortable and so on. But just standing up and breaking that segment could be one way we can do it. So every time the phone rings, we might say, well, if it's going to be a relatively short call, I could take that call standing up and carry on that conversation standing up. You can walk to your colleague's desk instead of sending them an email in the next room. You might actually get up out off your desk and do those sorts of things. We've talked about before, taking the stairs instead of taking the elevator or an escalator in the shopping centre and so on, taking a walk at lunchtime instead of just sitting down in your tea room. I think there are many ways we can think about walking around the supermarket, pushing a trolley. That's an activity which is something where we're actually active, we're not sitting down doing nothing, watching TV. Well, we could stand up, we could be doing the ironing. I used to do that, I used to be quite good at this.
I still do.
Do you?
Yep.
On a Saturday afternoon watching the races, I used to have the ironing board set up and doing ironing my shirts. And I've stopped doing that in recent times, and perhaps I really should be doing that again, because it's an activity. You're standing up, you're active, and you're counteracting the time that you may be sitting down and enjoying the TV. But you could still do the same thing and a proverbial killing two birds with one stone. Hanging washing on a clothesline rather than using the dryer. Doing some housework, Gordon, like vacuuming.
Let's not get carried away.
And these are the sorts of things. And gardening is another example. We could be doing simple activities and getting up and breaking the habits that are very convenient. And it can be done in the offices. It can be done in our leisure time at home. So you mentioned before about truck drivers and others. I fully appreciate if you're a driver, you may have limited opportunities to do the certain things I'm discussing. But when you're at home on the weekend, the same principles occur. And we need to think about, well, let's try and break the cycle of where we might be sitting. Just by interspersing it with periods of standing may be one way to break that cycle. Sensible approaches, Rod, not neglecting the other sorts of messages that we talk about all the time on our show about exercising, strength training and aerobic exercise training as structured forms of exercise. We're also talking about incidental activities that can break the cycle of sitting.
Easier said than done, of course, after a long, hard day at work or in the truck, or maybe, working as a nurse or something like that. Or as a teacher, maybe you're on your feet all day. Maybe that's a good thing. But many people just want to come home. I know I do, and I'll be doing that in a few minutes, and just slump on the lounge because I'm so exhausted.
As I do, Rod, as I do. Yeah. I mean, it's a tiring work, long days. The last thing you want to do is do a form of activity. Well, there are certain, I'm just thinking, well, let's try and approach it sensibly. On some situations, it may not be feasible. But just even thinking about it, being aware of this issue of our health, okay, what can I do about it? Let's approach it in a sensible way. Let's introduce something which can break that particular sitting cycle, and we may be better off for it. And I think that's all we can do. I think we're aware of the problem and aware of how we might address it as well.
All right. Good advice. Because it doesn't require just going to the gym. It's not going to solve all the problems by just getting up and being more active in an incidental way, but it is going to help.
It certainly will.
All right. Gordon, thanks very much.
Thanks a lot, Rod.
Gordon Lynch, Health and Fitness.